I'm Joe Conkright, and thank you for listening to this Encore Curtains at 8 podcast on WUKY. We present a special Groundhog's Day edition. You see, Groundhog's Day has always been a special holiday for Curtains at 8. Here to explain a little more is someone who knows all about it.
I'm Roger Chesser. I was general manager of WUKY for 15 years. One day I had the idea for an occasional program on Curtains at 8. Nick and I would play various kinds of music, both good and bad, and explain what made the one good and the other not. But somehow, that great idea evolved into something very different. The Woodchuck Show, playing music that most people would chuck or throw away. It was a competition to see who could find and actually play the worst music. And I won the first couple of those shows by bringing in some truly disgusting music. Who knew? It was certainly not my best radio moments.
And we now present an encore of Curtains at 8, a Woodchuck Show recorded on February 2nd, 2016.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Curtains at 8. I'm Nick Lawrence. Pleased to be here with you. Pleased to be here on this holiday of holidays, better known as Groundhog Day. Yes, that's right. February the 2nd is today, and it's Groundhog Day. And it's also Woodchuck Day, being one and the same with Groundhog. And Woodchuck is the theme of the show within the show, if you would. We're going to be playing music tonight in sort of a competitive format. And the competitive format is going to be to decide who keeps the most interesting music that anybody else would chuck. Here to lead off, we've got a word from our judge, Alan Lytle, part-time news director for the University of Kentucky. And Alan is going to tell us about the ground rules.
All right. Good evening, Nick. Contestants here. This is a very.
You look a lot like Bob Costas.
This is probably the most sports that I get to cover around here, especially inside the studio. So here's how we're going to do this. A long time ago, we had a point system and all that kind of stuff. Tonight, this is going to be like a boxing match.
This is like metal playing golf.
I am going to award the round to one or the other. And we're going to take turns leading off. In round number one, Roger will hit us with his first selection.
Roger Chesser, emeritus, as the honcho.
Huzzah. Emeritus, that means he won a bunch, right? Something like that?
he's got a bunch of demerits.
Joe Conkright is basically Cronkite?
No, it's Conkright, but you can think of me as Cronkite.
Most trusted man in America.
Yeah, that's right. As near as I can tell, the last time we did this, Nick, was 2008.
Holy cow.
As far as I can tell.
We couldn't possibly do it every year. It would wipe out availability.
It was done many, many years in a row, and I participated in several, and Roger participated in several. And we're very happy to bring this back to the WKY listeners. I don't know what Roger's got, but I can tell you right now, I've got a full load of novelty songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, some curious covers, some unfortunate reinterpretations of famous songs by famous people, and songs with strange themes, and sincerely weird performances and otherwise poor efforts to entertain. That's what I've got.
When we get into the 60-minute mark TV commercial, you can get ready to give us just a narrative of the history of the program.
Sure. That's right.
As a matter of fact, and of course, Roger, you have brought in some rather curious selections as well.
Always as well. Yes, I'm here.
Well, the ground rules, I think we've pretty much covered. So, Roger.
I have a question about ground rules.
Okay.
Has anybody bought a CD today? So they're all from your own library.
Yeah.
And this is further edification of woodchuck.
They come from a variety
of sources. Yeah.
Woodchuck it out.
That's the idea.
All right.
All right.
What do you got, Roger?
Roger, you have the floor.
Well, I think that the idea is that a person would acquire these recordings and then, you know, willfully or otherwise, and then find after the fact that it's really pretty terrible. And so, as Nick was saying, it'd be wise to throw it away, just woodchuck it. So why would somebody keep one of these recordings?
Why?
Well, we'll find out maybe when we talk about it. Why don't we go ahead and play track one of my first one?
It's track one.
Are you going to explain it first, or shall
no,
we? No,
I don't
hit
think
me,
so. It's just,
hit me cold.
It's just absolutely awful piece of recording.
Okay.
Poor music, poorly recorded, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, we'll be the judge on that.
Oh, yeah, that's of course. Yeah.
Don't sugar it up too much.
Okay.
Right. Now leave you on track two, right, Joe?
No.
No, he's on three.
He's on three.
Yeah, he's on three.
Three. Yes, sir.
Track one on three.
Okay, there we go. Audience participation. I like it already.
Yeah. Well, I keep this. It's good and scratchy.
Makes me want to sing along.
It sounds like one of those guitars that I made with rubber bands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel itchy just listening to it.
The plastic ukulele from the quarry.
Oh, my.
Is that it, Roger?
Okay, Roger. What's the story here?
So, you see, the music is just boringly repetitive. Stupid music, stupidly played.
He could roller skate to it.
And it's from the. I bought that record for like 20 cents in 1962. Uh-huh.
Did you try to get your money back?
You'd think so. If you pull out the record, you'll see that on the reverse side, I used it as a prop when I painted something.
Yes, you certainly did.
Wow, that's value.
So the equivalent of, I threw it away, the equivalent of is that I painted the other side. Anyway, yeah. I think it's a piece of garbage.
We've got to make a decision here.
Mr. Judge,
point of order.
Okay.
If he used it as an alternate tool, does that mean that it was mainly that tool, or is it still eligible for our...
Oh, it's definitely going to be considered. I have to hear what Joe has offered in round one to determine.
We now leave this reedy.
That was called who was that by? The Royal Tones.
The Royal Tones and Poor Boy.
Poor Boy by the Royal Tones.
Right.
All right, Joe.
Okay. Now you should understand these recordings kind of prove that there's something for everybody out there, and not everybody has good taste, or should they have? Because as bad as these recordings are, you got to think about this. They exist, so you think about all of the songs, all the recordings of songs that have never been done. Well, these songs have, and I don't know.
We're all the poorer for it.
Have you all ever been to traffic school or anything like that? Okay, so
never.
Roger. No, but well, you've probably heard about the videos that they show. You know, they're very
usually
graphic.
Very gory. Yes,
gory and graphic.
Scare the pants off of you.
Okay, so this song is sort of the musical version of one of those traffic. Videos, car crashes and such. And it was recorded, and Roger's probably familiar with this song because it actually was a top 10 hit in 1956, if you can believe it. It's kind of a beatnik version of a, it's a novelty song by Nervous Norvus.
No. Okay.
It was the performing name of Jimmy Drake, and it is a novelty song. It's called Transfusion. And there's a little interesting history of this song. And, Nick, it's track three on number two.
We'd like to dedicate this to the folks.
You can
folks
put
at
Rogers
the
back
Kentucky
in there.
Blood Center.
Yeah, number three. Yeah, proceeds go to the.
Okay, we're ready to go.
Yeah, it sounds like a public service announcement. It's a very odd. So, track three on CD two, please.
Tooling down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign? Transfusion, transfusion. I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Slip the blood to me, bud. I jump in my rod about a quarter to nine. I gotta make a date with that chick of mine. I cross the center line, man, you gotta make time.
It's instructive.
Oh man, I got the cotton picking convolutions. I'm never, never, never gonna speed again. Shoot the juice to me, Bruce. My foot's on the throttle and it's made of lead. But I'm a fast riding daddy with a real cool head. I'm a gonna pass a truck on the hill ahead.
I'm a little concerned about the meter.
Transfusion, my red corpuscles are in mass confusion. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Pour the crimson in me, Jimson. I took a little drink and I'm a feeling right. I can fly right over everything, everything in sight. There's a slow poking cat, I'm gonna pass him on the right.
So it, you can pull it down. Let me explain. It's fascinating that this was actually a top 10 hit. It's even more fascinating that it inspired a DJ named Barry Hansen, who chose the name Dr. Demento, and this became one of the signature songs, one of the inspirational songs for him to do his long-running show, the Dr. Demento Show. Nervous Norvus. This song has appeared on many compilations over the years, but most people probably wouldn't find much occasion to listen to it unless they were really trying to learn how to not be in a car crash. But
I have to confess, I had this on probably one of those KTEL collections.
So you sort of recognize
it. Oh, yeah,
it.
I knew that one right off the bat. And I got to give you the edge on this one, and because it's from a lyric standpoint,
yeah,
it's very clever.
Yeah.
And it is also a time capsule about our hot rod culture.
Yes.
Of 60 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And anybody else would have chucked that, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's
got a little flavor of Mose Allison, you know, but Norvus, yeah, he had at least one more song, I think, which was also charted for a little while. Rogers up next.
Okay, so round one goes to Joe Conkrum.
Woohoo! Well, I think that's a mistake. Because,
of course you do, Roger.
Because in your comments,
uh-huh,
you talked about how creative the lyrics were.
Yes, I did.
And that it was a top 10 hit.
Yeah, well, yes.
I know, but most people would have chucked it. See, that's the thing.
All right. Nervous Norvus just happens to be my next choice.
Oh,
however,
really?
Oh,
this is really getting interesting.
Point of order.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Judge, what do you think?
Uh-huh.
However, mine is much worse than his. Hit it.
Now here's the way Stone Agers wooed back a million years or two. The words you may not understand, but the meaning you will comprehend. He said, oh, oh, oh,
yep. Oh my, it is distinctly unlistenable.
Plus, it's like he took the IQs down, you know, almost 100 points from, you know, his previous song had lots of lyrics and, you know, it had something going for it, and this is just beatnik noise making.
Oh my God.
Truly bad, Roger.
I must say. I don't think we can top it.
Truly, truly bad.
I don't know. I might have something for you.
What in the world was the name of that?
It
was Ape Man, wasn't it?
That is Stone Age Woo by Nervous.
Oh, that's a different one. Yeah, he did another
Stone
one, I think,
Age
called
Woo.
Ape Man. So that's
Stone Age Woo.
He must have been on that theme.
Oh,
on that
gosh.
Kick. Wow, that was bad, Roger, I have to admit. But you know what? I think I have something that will top it. You know, I know that Alan's a big-time American Idol fan, and so
I am.
He will probably remember the exploits of William Hung, who in 2011, well, actually, no, it was 2004, he had an off-key audition performance and of a Ricky Martin song, and he became a sensation, and he actually recorded some albums and did some performances, and he's just awful. So we're going to hear his version of the Eagles in tribute to Glenn Frey, who has passed away now. Hotel California. And is track number 18 on the second disc. Track 18, if you'll twist up to it.
Okay, and this is for Fry.
This is Hotel California, and you'll enjoy this.
Maybe this is what hastened his demise.
In a way, yeah.
Always pure Eagles, I can tell already.
Oh, yeah.
The B minor chord.
Casio keyboard.
I played one of these in high school.
Sure.
Oh, stereophonic effect is really grand. It's going to my left ear to my right ear.
It's going back and forth. He's psychedelic.
On the darkness of highway, in my air, warm smell of colitas, rising up.
He almost sounds like a robot.
I'm ahead in the distance. I saw a shimmering light. My head grew heavy and my sight grew dim. I had to stop for the night. As you stood in the doorway. I heard the mission bell.
Mission bell.
I was thinking to myself, this could be heaven or this could be hell. Now she lit up a candle and she showed me the way. There were voices on the corridor.
I think I might have kept this one.
Oh, really?
I think I might have.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my.
If you love the song, you're weeping. But this might be your favorite version. You never know. Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
So somewhere there's a rock and roll singer rolling in his grave.
Let me explain. William Hung isn't recording anymore, thank God. In 2011, he actually accepted a job as a technical crime analyst. There's no word. He works for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. There's no word on whether he's actually done any investigations on his own music career as a as a crime against humanity. But so that's William Hung there. Hong Kong born and a former singer, American Idol contestant.
Wow. This is a very, very tough job. And we're talking about different eras.
Certainly.
But how can you compare the quality of the song? Joe's example is one of the most wonderful songs in all of pop music and all of rock. And comparing that to Stone Age Woo? Are you kidding me?
Well, I haven't rendered my decision yet.
No.
And
render's a good word for it.
I gotta say, because Rogers is just pure nonsense.
Yes, it's
pure
true.
Nonsense.
No, no.
And here you have someone who absolutely butchered a classic.
On Rogers, I heard some syllabic stress.
Yes. Well, I was the one feeling the stress. But
we can check with our studio audience and see what they think. What do you think? Number one, Roger. Or number two, Joe. You judge.
I'm going to have to get a very slight edge, almost like Hillary beating Bernie.
Oh, my.
Is going to go to Roger on this one.
Oh.
Because, as I mentioned, that song was just pure nonsense. And anybody would have chucked that. If you're a Glenn Frey fan, you might chuck that.
Yeah.
But if you just love the tune, you might hold on to it like you did.
Yes.
So round two goes to Roger.
All right, there we go.
So how do we stand now?
Very diplomatic, Judge. Roger, you're up next.
All right. Now, this next piece is from one of my favorite artists.
What he said was the next piece.
Huh?
What he said was the next piece.
What did I say?
Somebody didn't have their headphones on.
Number five is next.
Got it.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, we're cool.
Okay.
Pardon the interruption.
Okay. All right. Yeah. This next, I'll let you buy me lunch. Number five is by one of my favorite artists and one of the best in all of jazz. However, as this piece of music develops, it starts getting stranger and stranger, and 34 seconds in, things change. And this is barely recognizable as music. Go ahead and start it and wait for those 34 seconds to go by.
Okay.
And then you'll see. See, it's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Nice piano jazz.
Oh, yeah, I'm keeping this.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's got a little bit of sympathetic harmonization.
Mm.
See, it's a lovely piece.
It's kind of falling down the stairs a little bit now.
How many seconds are we in now? 29, 30, 31.
Wow.
Here it comes.
Oh.
Sounds like my high school band practice.
It's an amazing composition. You've heard of minimalism. This is sub-zero minimalism. This is designed
Wowzers.
By Krzysztof Penderecki. What do you think, Judge?
Well, from a noise standpoint, that's really noisy.
Mm.
Really commotion.
It just doesn't even sound like music for a while.
No. Who was that? And
that's the fellow playing piano is Bill Evans, one of the greatest in jazz,
mm-hmm.
with an arrangement by George Russell, and it's on CBS. This is a Columbia. This is his, Bill Evans' second Columbia album. Major label, major release, major artist, one of the best in jazz, and it sounds like something that no one would ever want to hear.
Major fail. That's what I would call that.
I think I would chuck it.
Bill never made another album with this record company.
So,
wow.
So what we have here is separation.
It's not going to bring tears to my eyes.
Oh, okay.
All right, makes it tough.
All right, Bill Evans. That was
Bill
that was,
Evans. Yeah. Modern Jazz Quartet.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'll see your Bill Evans. And I'm kind of going back and forth on what to do next. I think I'll go with number 17 on the second disc. There. We're gonna go with the LA musician known as Wild Man Fisher. Larry Fisher was a street musician. Who had some troubles. He was a paranoid schizophrenic and had quite a few troubles. But he was discovered by Frank Zappa, and Frank Zappa decided, well, I like what you do. So
I'd like to hear a story on that discovery.
He produced a whole album of this man, and then years later he did more albums and more albums. He had a very troubled life, but this is from his debut album from 1968. This track is entitled Monkeys versus Donkeys. No. And this is Wild Man Fisher.
Monkeys versus Donkeys.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Bow, 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 bow. Bow, 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 bow. I'll take my monkeys, you'll take your donkeys, we'll have a race right now. I'll bet my monkeys against your donkeys, the batter will win right now.
Yeah, and this is recorded actually on, I believe, on the Reprise label, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
That was Frank Sinatra who started Reprise.
Yeah,
they
had a sub.
How, you imagine
sub
that
label.
Conversation?
Yeah, they had a sub label, and it was on that whatever that sub label was.
Okay.
So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, I can see why.
Monkeys are beating your donkeys. It's a quite a race right now. Ow!
That's pretty good music.
He didn't have to pay any studio musicians.
Well, he's got some musical stuff on there. He does a song called Carousel.
Can't you see they're going around the turn now?
This is doo-wop, right?
Oh, monkey versus donkeys. Monkey versus
I think
Sean
and I covered this, right?
Minnie, if you're listening, I apologize. Apologize to Billy Bass for me. And to all the people listening.
Well, this is a woodchuck show, so we're talking about animals in that regard.
Yeah.
But this is really kind of nice underneath the velvety, smooth singing.
Monkey versus donkeys. Monkey versus donkeys. Monkey versus
There's the good part there.
Monkey versus donkeys. Monkey versus donkeys.
Oh my.
Monkey versus donkeys. Monkey versus donkeys. Monkey
is the whole album kind of like this?
Pretty much.
Why in the world would you keep it?
Well, some of the song, he's got a song called Carousel, but that one is unique. That is a unique song, and because of the connection with Frank Zappa too. But mainly, it's a hard listen, you know.
Yeah, that's like 3 minutes of my life I'll never get back. So, I gotta give you the nod on this round.
Okay.
Joe, woo-hoo! I mean, that is just truly,
monkeys
truly awful.
Versus donkeys. Roger, you're next.
I don't even understand. I don't even understand the concept. Why in the world
I think
would
it's
anybody
a political
write a
statement.
Song
yeah, I don't know.
Where you're pitting a monkey versus a donkey?
Sometimes contracts go amok. Yeah.
Somewhere PETA is really upset right now. Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay, so.
All right.
So that was saying, recap the scoring for us.
Right now, we have Joe with two rounds, and Roger has one round.
Okay,
so it's 2-1. So Roger.
2-1.
Sounds good. We need to identify ourselves so everybody knows who to blame.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
To my right here is Roger Chesser.
Curtains at 8 on WKY. Alan Lytle is the judge of the Woodchuck program. Mm-hmm. Roger Chesser, emeritus of WKY and
yes.
WBKY.
He is giving his blessing.
WGLK, WLEX.
Yeah.
All from Northern Kentucky, north of Dry Ridge. North of Sherman, probably.
He almost looks like Roger Moore.
Yeah.
He does look like Roger Moore.
almost.
My fatness score a little bit.
Yeah.
So how do we
wait a second now.
Okay. We got to give Joe a shot here.
Absolutely. Now, of course, if you're just now tuning in, these are songs. This Woodchuck is basically you two are playing music from your collections that mm-hmm. anyone else would chuck.
There
and,
you
of
are.
Course, the fact that it's Groundhog Day,
mm-hmm.
This has become a tradition here at Curtains at 8, although we took a rather long hiatus. We're back.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if by popular demand, but here we are.
The building can only stand so much.
that's exactly right. Okay, so, Joe.
Mm-hmm. I'm up 2-1, and Roger's got his. So, Roger?
Yeah, okay.
You
go ahead. Ray,
no, actually, Joe, you're supposed to lead off.
Oh, you want
round.
Me to lead off this one?
Yeah,
okay.
We're rotating.
Right. Well, I'm just going to step it up a little bit here. Sticking with interesting covers, I found this CD and it struck me right away because it was called Nob Dylan and His Nobsoletes. It was released in 2005. Nob Dylan, and the album's called 12 Positively Stiff Dylans is the name of the album. And as you can imagine, he does a lot of Bob Dylan covers. If you go to track 11 on here, this is just a short piece. I've actually got two little short things I'll play just to sort of demonstrate this whole album. But this one is a reading, you could say, of Rainy Day Women, although he calls it Rainy Day Women number 38 and minus 3. Nob Dylan and His Nobsoletes. And so, yeah, this is that.
Ready to go?
Yeah, track 11.
Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you when you're walking along the street. They'll stone you when you're trying to keep your feet. They'll stone you when you're walking on the floor. They'll stone you when you're walking to the door. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Da 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 da. Well, they'll stone you when you're at the breakfast table.
Now pull this one down.
Young and able. They'll stone you when you're trying to make a buck. They'll stone you, and then they'll say good luck.
Because that's just a little 49-second, you know, just to give you a little taste.
When it absolutely positively has to be there. Overnight.
Yeah. Now this one, this is Subterranean Homesick Blues.
Well, Johnny's in the basement, mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement, so I'm thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat badge got laid off. Says he's got a bad cop, once you get it paid off. Look out, kid, there's something you did. Well, God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the
that's
alleyway, looking for a new friend. The man in the coonskin cap and a pig pen.
I will say, musically speaking, it's not horrible. But his over-enunciation and the announcery kind of thing doesn't really fit with Dylan so much. It's a curiosity.
The question is, would someone keep this? Or would they chuck it?
I kept it.
I think what I would do is if it has that real weird stereo separation, just only play one track, one channel, and just the music.
So Hill and Gully Riders becomes Gully Riders.
Okay. So there you are, Dylan.
Nob Dylan.
And his Knobsoletes.
And Knobsoletes. Okay. Roger.
We just missed Kiki Friedman.
Your job is to compete with that.
We ready for my next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can pull Knob down.
yes,
he's,
please.
He's got faders and knobs.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Uh-huh.
Now,
he's bifaderal.
When in the late 50s, and particularly in the early 60s, when the teen music came along, for quite a while.
Like Dick Clark and that sort of thing.
Well, yeah. For quite a while, there was adult music and there was teen music. And the teen music was looked down upon by the adults because it was the teen music was really simple bubblegum rock and so forth and so on. And sometimes it was voiced by very young singers who weren't terribly skilled or experienced as compared with the great standards of popular music, see? So
I'm trying to understand all that. That's a lot of
heavy. He's talking over our heads again.
But you see,
it's because he's an emeritus.
What happened here? No, thank you. But what happened here, you see, is that
generally speaking,
this younger music appealed to younger people like me.
Yes.
Okay? When I was in the 60s, I was younger than I am now, needless to say.
Just a teeny bopper.
Teeny bopper. So anyway, the music which we would today would not even think that a 16-year-old or 18-year-old would like, or a 14-year-old. But then it had the freshness. So this next selection is from that genre, from that period of time.
Ah.
And today, I think anybody in their right mind would throw this away.
No, I like it so far.
We have just discovered an important note from space. The Martians plan to throw a dance for all the human race.
You liked this as a child, didn't you, Roger? Wow.
I love these sing-alongs.
Oh, man.
Well, I'll admit it's terrible.
That's quite enough.
Yeah.
I've got a technical question, Mr. Judge.
Yes.
Does he play this at home?
Would I play that at home?
No. Does our entrant, our champion, Mr.
Does Jesse, he play it at home?
Do you play this, play this at home?
I got this recording. Oh, by the way, it's The Martian Hop by the Randells. I got this recording in a great big collection of pop music from the 60s that I got free from a friend. And this happened to
friends
be
friends like that.
This happened to be just a standout as being atrocious music from a period of time when the teenage music could get away with stuff like that.
What exactly motivated you to hang on to it?
Well, actually,
anyone else would.
I marked it for deletion, and I was going, but it's on the CD. So if I to throw it away, I have to throw away the whole CD. And there are some early 60s pop music there that once in a while I dig out and listen to and remember what it was like when I was 17 or 18, something like that.
Yeah. Including The Martian Hop.
Actually, the collection is from British.
The Martian Hop.
It's a British collection, and it has Anyway, it has a pop singer from Great Britain from the 60s that never caught on over here that came. Anyway, I enjoyed some of the music on the album. But I'm not going to throw away the album just because it has a track that's pretty awful.
But, but that track is definitely throwawayable.
Oh, definitely.
I would definitely.
But you did hang on to it with that track full in view.
A little bit of contention I'll throw out here. See, yes, the track is, but he didn't throw it away because it's on an album with other stuff. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Wait
a minute now. Now, if you go by that criterion, just think about it. Is there anything that we've got to play that wouldn't fail that criterion?
Yeah, I like that.
Let's not go down that slippery slope then.
Bing bang. I like that one.
Okay.
That's probably later. I'm going to give the edge to Roger on that.
Oh, my.
An intergalactic mess that we just heard.
It's awful music. Yeah. I mean, it's just terrible.
It's just putrid.
All right.
It's just awful.
So we're tied.
We are tied after four rounds.
Wow.
At what level? Two apiece?
Two apiece. And we are now into round five. And, Roger, you get to lead off this time.
All right. Number seven. Track number seven on mine, please. This next one, I'm sure that the person who recorded this was sincere in his devotion to American railroads. However, sincerity does not equal great music.
Okay.
That's the fact.
Sincerity.
So give it a try.
I think there's a message.
This is delightful.
It's a message song, but I can't figure out what the message is.
Yeah. No, this
it kind of is. It's kind of like an evil children's song.
A Cyclops, perhaps. A Cyclops theme song.
Cyclops.
Actually, it's probably the soundtrack for a new Narnia.
Yeah. Someplace.
Okay, what's the story behind this?
You'll notice that the artists here are committed to repetition as a form of music.
We noticed that, yes.
That fuzz guitar thing just keeps on going.
Like a migraine.
For 2.5 minutes. That's Mike Thomas and Railroad Men and the Railroad Packs, PAX. It's a
railroad pack.
Wow,
that's a railroad abbreviation for passengers, and it's a tribute to the railroading industry.
I love these learning moments.
Yeah, well, that's I'd never heard that before.
Yeah,
now I know why.
Well, would you want to hear it again?
No.
Would you keep it or toss it?
Well, I certainly would throw that out. Definitely,
I can arrange to let you have a copy.
Oh, my.
All right, Joe. What do you?
Well,
have?
That's a high bar there.
The table, right?
That's a high bar, but I think I'm gonna go with track two on the second disc there, and I'm gonna ask you to go back to 1965 for this recording. This was a recording by Ted Cassidy. Anybody know who Ted Cassidy is?
Lurch from the Addams Family.
He sure is. Did you realize that he was a DJ once?
No, but with those pipes, I can understand
why. He was a DJ working in Dallas at the time that Kennedy got assassinated, and
he
actually was one of the people that got some of the first interviews with some of the eyewitnesses. He was 6'9". He did play Lurch. He also played... for a little while, Bigfoot on the $6 Million Man.
Oh, that was him?
Well, it was one of them. There was Andre the Giant also played him as well, but he did several episodes as Bigfoot. But he was Lurch, and for some reason, they decided to make a recording in 1965. There was a dance called The Lurch. Yeah.
Monster
this
Mash.
Okay. So this is the height of their popularity.
This is the height of their popularity, but it was a poor choice of songs. I don't know that anyone ever danced the Lurch. They did have this on Shindig and a couple other programs. He did this song live, and it was as high camp as you can imagine. High camp. So this is Ted Cassidy.
As opposed to low
lurch,
camp.
And it is the lurch.
Okay.
So.
Hi, lurch! Hey, lurch! We just heard the news around town.
They're very sincere, these titty bobbers here.
And we're here to see what you're putting down.
Oh, let that play. That's great.
Learn to do it.
Follow me.
There it is. And of course, they don't really explain how to do the lurch dance, but interestingly, there's a little interesting factoid. The signature line, "You rang," that was actually ad-libbed. He was supposed to be mute. He wasn't supposed to have any lines in the show. He just ad-libbed that, and then from then on, it was like, oh my God, your voice is awesome. Let's write a bunch of lines for you. So they did. And he also played Thing. He played the hand, which was the thing. So he got double duty. I don't know if he got paid twice for that role, but...
hand model.
Ted Cassidy, Lurch, from 1965 there.
All right. So. This is a very difficult decision, and here's why, gentlemen. And you're probably going to think I'm nuts, but I like that song.
Wow.
I kind of liked it, too.
I like the song. Mm-hmm. It's got a great mid-60s groove to
we'll
it.
Listen to some more.
I worried about that.
That just sounds like me before my first morning coffee. So, I got to say, I mean, I would not, if I had this in my collection, I'd hold on to it.
Okay.
So you would not chuck it?
I would not chuck it.
Oh, my.
Rogers, I absolutely
would
chuck.
Absolutely would. Okay.
So if, using that criteria, I have to award this round to Roger.
Oh, Roger's right. Up one.
Yes, Roger is up one.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, my.
Now we are in round six.
All right.
And Joe, you get the floor this time.
Okay, well, this is a tough one here. I think, actually, I'm going to switch it up. I have another CD here because I actually forgot to put this one on that collection. So if you'll pull that one out.
How about I do this?
I've got another... I can't seem to... Oh, yeah, here we go. It's track three on... No, yeah, you can do it on the top one. That would be a good idea. I'll do a preface on this. Now, I'll be honest. I don't know a whole lot about this character. This is Reverend Fred Lane with Ron Pate's Debonairs. And this tune is track three on that, the first disc there.
Reverend Fred Lane.
Now, I can't say for sure that he's an actual reverend, but the song is called Rubber Room. And it has a little bit of a lounge quality.
You can imagine.
You can imagine a poor soul, at the 88s and, getting ready to entertain some people in a hotel lounge or wherever it is. And this is the song that comes out. It's called Rubber Room, number three on there. Can you get it in there?
Our playback machine has taste. It's trying to chuck your whole CD.
You got it in there the right way. You flipped it over. That's why it won't play.
Well,
it's track three for those of you playing along at home. But you need to turn the CD on the right side. There you are. Reverend Fred Lane with Ron Pate's Debonairs.
Shall I sing a few bars of The Martian Hop while we're queuing the CD?
Save that for yourself.
Oh, okay. All right.
Here we go. This is...
They're signaling from the control room saying they're ready to roll.
All right, okay. Let's see it. There it is. Oh, yeah.
Is that it?
Start, people stop and ask me about my wife. They think I broke my arm. It's just exaggeration. It's no big deal. I never felt better in my life.
Sounds like Dean Martin.
Oh, yes.
People stop and ask me about my broken arm.
What?
Yeah. They think I beat my wife.
It's a strange song.
It's their foolish dreams. I don't let it worry me.
And he does have a band come in here in just a minute.
I'm in the prime of my life.
The Debonairs. And it,
I'm sick of my job. I'm sick of my wife. I'm sick of your face. I'm sick of this life. Gonna go to the store and purchase some hardware, my dear. Then I'll get in the car.
It almost seems to be playing a different song, almost.
Arrive at your door, of which I will be kicking in. And I'll say what a day, what you say. You both go have a drink or two. Then I put it to your forehead.
I have no idea what he's talking about at this point. It's very strange. So, this song goes on for almost 6 minutes long. And then at the very end, he says, I'm in the rubber room. So, you know, you figure, well, okay.
You figure this qualifies as a ballad?
It's an old Irish ballad, yes.
Sounds like the Rat Pack going haywire.
It's definitely strange. Actually, to me, it sounds like a high school band trying to play Ornette Coleman with Mose Allison. So, I don't know.
Joe's right.
No.
Yeah, Joe's right.
So,
what do you think?
Wow, that's going to be hard to top there, Roger. That is just truly weird.
Yeah, the Reverend Fred Lane with Ron Pate's Debonairs.
They even have multiple saxophones.
When was this put out? Was this in the...
You know, it's unclear, but I believe that it was put out in the 80s. That's, and the exact date is... I couldn't find out a lot of information
around
about
the
it.
90s in order to keep from being thrown away as a tape.
You know, it's timeless. That's the way I look at it.
My question... Where did you even come across this track?
Well, it was actually on a compilation with some other material, which I valued a little better, like Roger's situation. Right. But it stuck out to me because of its utter strangeness. I mean, I confess I have listened to it on more than one occasion. I mean, it's a... For one, I wanted to figure out what he was talking about. It sounds violent. You know,
that's what I'm saying. It's probably a ballad.
Yeah. Okay.
You gotta listen to the whole thing.
Murder ballad. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody gets killed, but it starts to get weirder as the music goes along. There's some John Zornish kind of stuff going on later in the song that is nearly unlistenable.
What do you think, Your Honor?
Well, we got to hear Roger's.
All right, Roger.
That's I have to have something to compare it to.
Sure, you do.
Okay. All right.
What number are we?
Number four. Yeah, you've already got four. Yep. Number four. I'm going to throw a complete curveball here for this next piece because this is a wonderful piece of music by one of the most popular recording artists ever.
Oh my!
So why would somebody throw this away? Let's play just a few seconds, like 20 or 30 seconds of this piece.
Wow.
And then I'll explain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Imagine I'm in love with you. It's easy because I know. I've imagined
it's a good song.
I'm in
That's
love with you.
Yesterday.
Many, many, many times before.
I don't understand why you would want to get rid of that. That's the Beatles,
that's
sir.
That's the Fab Four. Yes, sir.
Oh, my, Roger.
It's on the Swan label, which is...
That's it.
Uh-huh.
He's got it.
It's not the real Beatles.
Sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely the Beatles.
When I just thought that as a public service to our listeners that I would explain just a little bit about the idea behind this show and make a point about this recording. This is the Beatles, yes, one of the earliest releases of the Beatles. It's the flip side of She Loves You. And the song was released in August of 1963, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway... various record companies were offered the Beatles' first songs and turned them down, including Capitol Records.
That's right.
And so a couple...
And Decca, too, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so a couple minor labels, VJ and this record, which is on Swan, for those of you listening at home, a couple minor labels picked them up and put them out. And this record, this is I'll Get You on one side and She Loves You on the other. And this was not, neither one of these songs were released in the U.S. on albums for many, many years. Mm-hmm. They were big hit singles. She Loves You is one of the biggest hits of the Beatles. Nine,
that's got some value, eight, doesn't it?
Seven, yes, it does.
That's a cutout, too.
Five, exactly.
Four, yeah, you've got holes
Joe's
in
spots,
the...
When
that makes one. It even more. That indicates that it's a DJ copy.
When the record companies gave the music to the radio station, they drill a hole in the record, and that was a way of proving that it's a cutout and it's not can't be sold at full retail.
Yeah.
So I paid 20 cents for this.
Oh, wow.
Before the Beatles were a hit.
Yeah.
That really typifies the intent of the program to hold something that anybody else would chuck.
Yeah, but...
And
but
it's interesting to find that there's some innate value that the owner has.
Hold on now. That's distinctly unhorrible, okay? All right? That's distinctly unhorrible.
That
just sounds like a good deal. You picked up on something before everybody else. I don't know if people would throw that out, though. I mean, I don't know. It's still good music.
It was thrown out, and I bought it at 20 cents.
Wow.
But, wow. Yes.
Most people wouldn't chuck it, though.
No, I have to concede. Joe is exactly right.
Yeah.
Most people, as a matter of fact, when I was looking into this, coming over tonight and looking at this, I went online. The least you can buy a copy of this Swan single is $5.
Mm-hmm. The least.
Capital gains. Yeah.
The least.
Supplies.
And you can, if it's in good condition, and by the way, you just heard it, it is in excellent condition.
Yeah.
The best, you can pay as much as $25 for a really good copy of that single on Swan.
Yeah. Wow. I would have thought it would have been worth more than that. That's interesting.
So would I, but there you are.
Well.
But that has to go to Joe.
Yeah, absolutely has to go to Joe, but I love the story.
I thought you'd like the story.
But we will award.
What about 3-2?
I believe it's 3-3 now.
No. I don't. Or is it? Okay, Mitch, it's tied. All
yes.
right.
Well,
all
right. We are in round
wishful
seven.
Thinking on my part.
And who Roger goes first.
Nine here. Minutes left before okay. halftime.
All right, Roger. You got it.
Oh, it's my turn?
It's your turn.
Yeah.
We are in round seven.
Track eight. Now, there are home runs, great grand slams, Hail Mary passes.
Mm-hmm. Memorable.
This is mine, gents.
Oh, no.
This is one... So offensive in so many ways, musically, artistically, the song, the use of the performers, etc., etc. This is terrible.
Oh, I love it. I feel like a cowboy. You've used this before, haven't you? I recognize this. There's got to be a demerit for that.
You can't
pull out someone. I've heard this before.
I'm talking about demerit.
Well, just in the scoring, it has to be considered. This has been used. It is a great track.
Oh, my.
Because it's a child star, you know. How can anyone forget this song?
I don't want to put it down. I like it.
Yeah.
It a lot.
In fact, Nick liked it last time we played it.
I'll give you 20 cents for it.
It's fairly interesting, too, because I'm looking at the label, and in cursive writing it says bad. B-A-D.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Well,
I thought it said B-S.
If I may explain for a second.
Oh, my.
The singer, it says on the record label she's 6 years old.
Yeah, she's only 6 years old.
And the recording, yes. the people who produced this album, I mean, she's only six, right? And she's just a minor, and she's just a child, really.
Yeah.
She probably had trouble getting in clubs.
Yes, I'd say. The people who, her parents and the people who
should be ashamed of
this,
themselves, yes.
They're making her try to sound like sexy.
Yeah.
Like she understands the meaning of the words of the song.
Uh-huh.
And it's borders on child abuse, in my view.
Well, what about the choreography? Does she do a little?
Yeah, it's like Honey Boo Boo there. Yeah.
So I think purely on the merits of child abuse, et cetera, that this has to be a winner.
I think
just because I used it many years ago, and just because Joe recognized it, doesn't disqualify it. So there, Joe.
Okay. Well, I have an original song to offer, and you mentioned Kinky Friedman, who was here not too long ago. I found a great compilation of Kinky Friedman songs recorded by other artists, sort of a tribute album to him. And this is a recording by the great Chuck E. Weiss. Now, Chuck E. Weiss, you'll recognize Chuck E. He's the Chuck E. from Chuck E.'s in Love, the Ricky Lee Jones song.
Uh-huh.
He's a great guitar player and played with Tom Waits and a bunch of people. And anyways, Chuck E. Weiss recorded this version of Kinky Friedman's song, Old Ben Lucas. Now, the thing about this song is this might be offensive to people who are afraid of phlegm. So anyways, that's what this song is about.
Okay.
It's track 6 on there, and it's called Old Ben Lucas, who had a lot of mucus.
Old Ben Lucas had a lot of mucus coming right out of his nose. He picked and picked till it made you sick, but back
and it kicks
Where's
in.
Where's it go? Where's it go
oh,
from
it kicks
here?
In.
Boogers and snot, loogies and smart, packed in those gaping holes. His sickening congestion would reach his digestion, then back again it grows.
And then it's got kind of a, you know, border town kind of thing going, yeah, but it... It's hard to listen to a song about snot.
Something's hard, snot.
When it's cotton picking time in Texas, boys, booger picking time for me.
I mean, unless you're 13 years old, you probably throw this out.
Thank goodness we're almost out of time.
Oh, my gosh.
You're listening to Curtains at 8 on WUKY. I'm Nick Lawrence, Alan Lytle, Judge of the UF, Roger Chesser, competitor.
It's outstanding, isn't it, there?
Who wins, Alan?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. This is by far the toughest decision I've had to make.
Oh, come
here.
On now. It's either this one or a song that's been used. This song's about snot,
would
Alan.
You prefer recycled?
Recycled.
Both are an insult to Edison.
Yeah.
So.
Ponder for a minute. We got a minute.
All right.
After all these years, Joe finally defeats Roger.
Now, come on now. I've defeated Roger before.
That is just truly horrible and rude because and nasty.
It's rude, isn't it?
We're not supposed to talk about bodily functions on this radio program.
I know.
Would you recommend people not do this at home?
I'd take one look at Joe and I'd say, not funny.
It's not funny. I didn't even have to bring out the Phyllis Diller. I could have done that, but I don't know. Something about that song.
It's truly something.
What's the final score? Give us a rundown, a wrap up.
Well, after 7 rounds,
Costas couldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
It is
7 rounds.
Official.
After
7 rounds, we have crowned a winner, and his name is Joe Conkright.
All right.
4 rounds to 3.
Conkright. All right. Yeah.
That is the final. You've climbed the mountain, Joe.
Do I get a parting shot, Nick? Is there one I can throw on there real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's try from her album Born to Sing, track 13 on there. This is Phyllis Diller on the second disc. Track 13. Phyllis Diller did an album in 1970 called Born to Sing, and this is a Rolling Stones song.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so give this one a try.
A true
just a little bit
here.
Of here. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and pop that thing up there.
By the way, congratulations, Joe.
Thank you, Roger. It's been a pleasure. You got to have a CD 2, track 13. You got it. You put the wrong one. Okay. There you go. Okay.
Treaty.
That's Rogers.
Oh, that's
yeah,
that's
anyway.
Go ahead and run track six. Go ahead.
I don't think Phyllis Diller is ever satisfied.
We lost our time right here.
I can't get out. That's awful. That's awful.
You're listening to University of Kentucky Public Radio 91.3 WKY Lexington, WKY HD1 at WKY.org. David Dine, World Cafe, coming up in a moment. And I think David's going to play this song on World Cafe.
No! Let's hope not.
She, in the middle of the song, she starts telling jokes, and they're not funny.
Okay, okay.
Not only is she a bad vocalist, but the comedy is just cornball. So, Phyllis Diller. A parting shot.
My thanks to Joe Conkright, Alan Lytle, and Roger Chester for being a part of this artistic moment.
Artistic.
Up next, David Dye, World Cafe on WUKY.
You've been listening to a special encore podcast of Curtains at 8, originally broadcast on February 2nd, Groundhog's Day, 2016. I'm Joe Conkright. For Nick Lawrence and all of us at WUKY, thank you for listening.